tonight. My own words of welcome for each one. It's good to see the audience here tonight.
I want to recall the charts that we just looked at again through the screen.
Let me explain that there was an agreement between us to exchange hard copies of the different slides. I don't know why, Brother Joel, you had in mind. I was thinking it was because of logistics, the matter of not having to change. We would have to change projectors back and forth between speeches, so just exchange hard copies. But that is no problem since we worked that out. And that's why last night I did not call for these charts. I'm calling for them tonight. We want to look at them one by one. This speaker and this mic are getting close together. This proposition says that the Bible teaches that if a man puts away a scriptural wife for a reason other than fornication, and then, notice that "and then," that's in his proposition. You're going to see some charts in a minute where there's no "then" on the other side, but he says they're parallel. Conspicuously absent is the "and then." The word "then" is an adverb that indicates order of events. This is sequential. He does something, and then he does something else. Next chart, please. This is very interesting, and several comments have been that this is very effective. How do you answer it? Well, there's no difficulty here at all. He says that his proposition lines up with both Luke 16:18 and Matthew 19:9. Jesus says that should a man do something, it's in the subjunctive. Incidentally, last night in the first speech, Brother Joel, you said that you anticipated my bringing up some Greek, and you're not a Greek scholar, and the word Greek didn't come out of my mouth last night, but our brother had charts up here with some Greek words, apoluo, charisso, and athiame, and quoted some Greek scholars. Now that's amazing, and you've done it again tonight, which is fine. But in the Greek, Jesus is saying, two subjunctives, should a man do this, put away his wife, should he marry another, this is the consequence. This is the consequence of doing it. He is committing adultery. There's no sequence of events in that verse. It's telling that should this man do this and that, he says that sequence. There are two things that Jesus says, should he do it. Here is the result. He commits adultery. And then notice also that Jesus says that whosoever, he doesn't address one remark to the put away woman about her being permitted to do or not do anything. He addresses it to whosoever. But you're going to see repeatedly on the charts underscored the put away woman, the put away woman. That's all he says, put away woman. It was all over his charts last night. Jesus says the man, whosoever does this and that, here is the consequence, and it's also the consequence for whosoever marries her, and for the same reason. The reason being that there was no putting way for the cause of fornication. So, whosoever does that, since it was not for the cause of fornication, he commits adultery when he marries again, and whosoever, Jesus directs himself to whosoever and to whosoever, or to he that does this. He commits adultery also. I'd like to ask you, Brother Joel, why does this whosoever down below commit adultery when he marries that woman? Why, she's in a box. She's been put away. That's all he sees. She's been put away. No, she was put away not for fornication. That's the reason. We're not told the reason. We're just told he can't do it. Or rather, we're just told she can't do it. Next one. Excuse me. Not the next one. I'm sorry. Over to the right, he has a man doing two things. Here's a man who puts away a scriptural wife, and then in sequence of order, look up then in the dictionary. It's an adverb that introduces a sequence of order. And then later, he does this. What's the consequence? There's no parallel there. The next passage, please, and it's the same argument. What is Matthew 19:9 talking about? Look at verse 3. The Pharisees ask a question. Is it lawful for a man, maybe they said, is it lawful for Fred to put away Jane? No, Jesus wasn't asked that question. Did they put a picture of a man so Jesus would know that Fred's a man? You know, that kind of, I have no objection to your charts and your graphics. Someone said, well, I'm really impressed with that. And today, on this artistic value and this animation of PowerPoint presentations and all that, we're used to that. But I feel like a dummy that when I'm told that someone entered on the second story and here's a camera going up some steps, I don't know what a second story is. I resent that. But anyway, the Pharisees asked Jesus, is it lawful for a man? And remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Spirit speaks, combines spiritual things with spiritual words. That's all the Pharisees need. That's all we need. We need words. Last night, that's all I used on my slides, words. But you didn't have that artistic effect. I didn't intend to. I don't lean on that. Someone says, that's very, if you want to win a debate, that's very important. Maybe. I'm not interested, and I'm sure Joel is not interested in winning a debate. But here you have, over in Matthew 19:9, you have Jesus answering that scenario. If a man puts away, or is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Well, if he does, Jesus says, excepting for the cause. Jesus focuses on the, he focuses on the cause. We're not hearing much about that. I want to show some slides, if I have time, on the irrelevance of fornication after some ungodly man has done this ungodly thing that we all agree did not affect the marriage bond. They're still bound after he did it. But to them, this is everything, or to those brethren who agree with my brother Joel, it's everything what he did. It did not affect the bond at all, and they admit they're still bound after that was done. That's where they put the emphasis. The emphasis and the impetus. All right, let's go to the next chart, please. There's a difference between the marriage and the bond. There's a difference between the marriage bond and the physical marriage relationship. That's true. But marriage includes bond. When we talk about marriage being a divine institution, is the bond something different? Well, that's part and partial of it. It's the way the word marriage is being used. He means the physical marriage relationship. The one flesh relationship, he says, is different from the bond. And that's true. Though the one flesh relationship is part of the bond, it's not all of it, of course. The bond involves vows and promises and commitments. Then they become one flesh. That's part of the marriage institution. He gives us Romans 7, verse 2 to 3. Of course, he knows I do not disagree with the passage. Let's have the next one, please. Excuse me. Here are the underlining parts. There's a difference between the marriage and the bond. Up to this point, though I would not diagram it, and diagrams are excellent, but diagrams can also be misleading. I would not run the errors of bound both directions. There may be some thought that would justify that, but God is the one doing the binding. The man and the woman make these vows. They make these promises. They make these commitments. They leave father and mother, or he leaves father and mother. He cleaves to his wife. The two become one flesh. They're married. Next. But if a man puts away the woman, that you notice that bottom arrow, it's dimmed out now, but it goes in both directions. He doesn't talk about the woman. Last night, he just says the man puts away the woman. Can the woman put away the man? Why don't you put that up there too? That's part of it. All right, move right along with it. What we all believe is that if the man puts away the woman, not for fornication, if he marries again another woman, yes, he commits adultery. Right ahead. If a man puts away his wife, not for the cause of fornication, and she marries again, yes, God does not approve of that. Yes, that's adultery. Next. How can the bond be broken? How can the bond be broken? Brother Joel, I have quit using that expression, be broken, and I notice on another slide just coming up soon, you're using the term loose, bound and loose. Those are your opposites. This idea of breaking a bond. If God's doing it, I can accept that. But really, God joins. Matthew 19 and verse 6, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So God binds and God looses, for the cause of fornication or for death. So how can the bond be loosed? Well, here's God binding the woman to the man, but when the man dies, then God releases her from that bond. She didn't break it. Death didn't break it. Death was the reason, the cause for God to release her, and she's free to marry another. Next. So she marries another with God's approval. That's correct. I don't want to wear the word next out. All right, the man puts her away for fornication. So, he is free from that bond if he puts her away for fornication. Then he marries another woman with God's approval. There's no debate there. But she, now notice this, he puts her away for fornication. If she marries another, that's adultery. Why? Because, well, tell us the reason. What's the reason, Joel, why she's committing adultery right here? Because the fornicator is never given the right to remarry. There is no authority for that. This woman who was put away for fornication, if she marries again, she marries without any authority to do that. That's why she commits adultery. Next. Brother Reeves wants to add a third way to break the bond. No, Brother Reeves doesn't have any third way. Puts her away not for fornication. Go right ahead. Then he marries someone else. Brother Reeves teaches there is one, not way to break a bond, there's one reason that God gives for releasing one from this bond, and that is fornication. There's only one cause. The Pharisees asked, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus says, there's only one cause, fornication. That's what Brother Reeves believes. Next. Brother Reeves says this releases the bond, but the scriptures do not. No, this woman put away for fornication is not authorized to marry again. Some brethren in our country say, yes, once the bond is broken, both are free and both can marry again. That is not true. Brother Reeves does not say that this releases her from the bond. I do not say that. That's a misrepresentation of my position. The reason this woman commits adultery, you have another error coming up, is simply because she's not authorized to marry again. She forfeited her right to marriage when she committed fornication and he put her away for that. Next. Married and put away. There again, the term married needs to be defined. He means the physical marriage relationship which anyone can put away, the husband or the wife. Bound and loosed, not bound and broken. God binds and God looses for one cause. That's what Brother Reeves teaches. That when the cause of fornication is there, Matthew 19 and 9, part A, then God will loose that innocent one from that bond. That's the only reason that God gives apart from death in Romans 7. Next. Man can put away. Yes. Woman can too. See, the error going in both directions. Maybe man is used there generically. Only God can loose. I agree with that. No debate there. Who has the right to remarry? Now, Matthew 19 and 9. We have it separated there for effect. But that's all right. Whosoever shall put away his wife. Next. We know the passage in Matthew 19 and 9. Look at the first red X. The man who puts away his wife not for fornication, he doesn't have a right to remarry. Are we agreed on that? Of course. Then he says the man who puts away his wife for fornication does have a right to remarry. When I talk like that, you know what he says? That's what I wanted to affirm in this debate. He said, well, I can't accept that unless you put in there that he previously was not divorced. But he doesn't put it in here. He just says the man who puts away his wife for fornication. What if he's previously divorced, Brother Joel? Would you take the green marker out? The man who puts away his wife for fornication, yes, he may remarry. Next. Now look at this. The woman who is put away for fornication may not remarry. The reason being, it's not authorized. God authorizes the one who puts away for fornication to remarry. He does not authorize one who is a fornicator to remarry. But this second woman, the woman who is put away not for fornication, the woman who is put away not for fornication, why can't she remarry? Because she was not put away for fornication, and that's the only cause that Jesus permits for putting away and remarrying. That's the reason down there. It's not because she's a put-away woman and she's been put in this box and the label is put-away women. That's not the reason. The reason simply is she was not put away for fornication, and therefore she's still bound to her husband. The bond has not been loosed by God. Next. Absolute or not absolute? Concerning the salvation of accountable people. Let's do some simple Bible study right here. Would you put the entire chart up for me, please? John 3:16. He wants a case of not absolute and absolute, and he tries to draw a parallel here, and is a bad exegete in this chart here. John 3:16 is an absolute. You see the word believeth over there, John 3:16? And down below, where it is an absolute, he's got believeth again. He that believeth not shall be damned. Both texts are different in this respect. The believe in John 3:16 is used comprehensively and includes everything that a man does in obedience to God. And the one that does that shall not perish, and that is an absolute. Belief is not used there, Joel. It's belief only. Whosoever only believes, because he says there's some other conditions, you have to repent, be baptized, and confess. Belief is used comprehensively. It's an absolute. Mark 16:16, he that believeth not shall be damned. Their belief is used as an individual act. He that believeth and is baptized. These are two specific acts. But up above, belief there is used comprehensively. Yes, there are other terms of salvation. You see it in the first part of verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So their belief is used different from a baptism as two separate acts. There are other qualifiers, of course. The same thing in Luke 16:18a. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. That's not an absolute, he says. Yes, it is in context. Jesus is talking about those who put away a wife not for the cause of fornication, and that's absolutely the case. He's going to commit adultery when he marries again. No, that's not an absolute. They're qualifiers. Well, down Luke 16:18b. Whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Oh, that's an absolute now because somebody's been put away. Here's all my brother sees. If you're put away, if you're in the box, you're stuck to the day you die. Or unless that spouse dies first, and then you can get out of the box. You see, they're qualifiers. It's not an absolute up above, but it is down below. No, both are saying the same thing. When there is no cause of fornication in the putting away, the man who does it commits adultery, and whosoever marries her commits adultery. It's the same for both. When there's no cause of fornication involved, both the man who does this and the other man who does this, they're committing adultery for the same reason. There was no cause of fornication. Next, please. Well, here's our box. I attended a debate many years ago in another state. And there's a man right in this city, I understand, who takes the position, there are a few brethren who do, that no remarriage is permitted under any circumstance. Divorce for fornication?
Yes.
But no remarriage under any circumstance. And that brother debated it, and guess what passage he used? Luke 16:18a. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. There it is in black and white. Whoever does it, he took it in the absolute. Just as our brother down here wants to take the B part in the absolute. I like to hear you debate a brother like that, Joel. He takes the upper part in the absolute. You say, no, you take the bottom in the absolute. And he says, they're both absolutes. I like to hear a debate between Brother Joel. I mentioned last night, he's got a situation for a one-man debate. He says, I believe your proposition. Those of you who were not
here last night,
me for your benefit, state that my proposition said that he would not accept, so I could affirm in this debate. He said that I believe that proposition that when fornication occurs. Now, does that statement, that simple statement, when fornication occurs, admit of any exception or any condition? Does it say when fornication occurs, provided that, or pre or post or after or before? That proposition doesn't admit of any exceptions. He put a chart up here last night and misrepresented me. He changed the word from my proposition to, and he put it in parentheses, my position doesn't admit. I didn't say that, Brother Joel. If that was a slip, just admit it and we'll pass on. That is not what I said. But he said he would debate that himself, and I told him I'd moderate for him here. That when fornication occurs, to abbreviate it, the innocent one can put away the guilty one and remarry. Then he up and denied because he says, I believe that, but it doesn't have a proviso in there that provided he didn't get put away or he hadn't been put away prior to doing that. But if I don't put that in there, that even when he has previously been divorced, he won't deny it, he said in the debate. So he's on both sides of that. Look at those three passages. In none of those passages is there a cause of fornication for the putting away. Did you hear me? I didn't say that there's no fornication. The word is not mentioned, like the word adultery. I'm saying that in those passages that Jesus is talking about, in that scenario that he was asked about, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Jesus says, it is not lawful for every cause. And whoever does that for any or every cause except fornication, the person, he is going to commit adultery when he marries again, and anyone who marries her is, for the simple reason there was no cause of fornication. Jesus put her in that box. This box that our brother has created here and labeled put away women, and it's all over his charts, the put away woman, he makes an absolute out of and says so in Luke 16:18. He has created this box. Jesus didn't put anybody in that box, in a box, except the woman put away or the man, not for the cause of fornication. That person is in the box of prohibited from marrying again if the one wants to avoid fornication or adultery. Brother Reese agrees that there are certain put-away persons who can not remarry. Brother Reese agrees that this innocent put-away woman cannot remarry because she was put away not for fornication. But when she's put away not for fornication and he can't remarry, he does, or commits fornication with Mary down here, not remarry, but when he commits fornication, it's against her. Mark 10 and verse 11. And he feels it so keenly he has to pull. He said, many scholars. Are you sure there are many of them? He found a few. Several commentators use the same man by the name of Nigel, who said that this word, the Greek word epi, which is translated against, and be turning to Mark 10 and 11 if you will, I want to ask you again like last night, does anyone have a version that doesn't say against? This fellow says it may mean with. One fella is quoted by several others, and that's many scholars saying, and Joel says, I don't take a position. Well, what's your point? Let's go to the next chart, please. I believe we'll get to that. This matter of fairness, and I don't make any arguments based on emotion. I make it on the fact that Jesus said there's one cause and one cause only. That's where I leave it. Thank you very much. This is interesting. This is the most pitiful parallel I've seen in a long time. You have an employer and an employee. What is the parallel? We're talking about two people, a man and a woman, and both of them make vows. If you want a parallel, you've got to have two employers up there, and both of them can fire people. But you have one, an employer, who can fire, and the other fellow, the employee, he can quit, and he likens that to marriage, which is a commitment and vows and promises between two people, and both of them who make vows can disavow. One cannot, this one man can fire the other fellow, but one fellow cannot disavow for the other person. He can't vow for the other person. You have two equal people making vows, and both of them can disavow. Neither can you put away once you've been put away. See that put away? That's his bond. Anybody's put away. He doesn't talk about whosoever does something to one who's been put away. That's what Jesus said. Whosoever marries again when there's no cause for fornication, and he put away, and whosoever marries this person. But he directs everything, all the remarks of Jesus, to the put away person. Marriage is already dissolved. There's nothing remaining to put asunder. There isn't. All there is just separating spatially, putting space between you.
What if a man
goes off to work? Did he leave his wife? Is that all there is to repudiating, to rejecting, to renouncing these vows and promises and these commitments? This put away woman who did not want it, she did not consent to it. There was no consensual divorce. She is trying to plead with him not to do this sinful thing. She wants the salvation of her soul, of his soul. She has nothing to do. She can reject him. She can reject the vows that she made. She can disavow him. She can reject him and put him away, just like she made vows to accept him. Oh, there's nothing left to put asunder. He means there's no more space. Brother Joel and I had a 2.5-hour study with another brother here, the first of the year, and he says, now, what if a man puts away his wife and he goes to Africa? How can he put the fellow away? He's already over in Africa. I asked Joel, how'd the wife know that? Well, maybe he wrote her. Well, then he can write her back. He can write him back and tell him that she is rejecting him for what he's done. He has repudiated his vow. She's going to repudiate him, and he's committing fornication in this illustration. And she finds out about it and writes him and tells him, spatial separation is not all there is to putting away. Next, Brother Reese wants to have it both ways. This is amazing. The whole chart, please. This is amazing. He asked me a question and put it on the screen last night. Brother Reese, do you believe that when one is put away, that he's really put away? And I said, yes, and he brought it up there again tonight, and yet he puts his chart up here and says, which way does Brother Reese want it? I said over there, yes. He says, but over here, he wants to say no. Which way is it, Brother Reese? I told you which way. I answered your question. What's the purpose of this chart? And misrepresenting me is I want it two different ways. That sometimes put away really means it, and sometimes it's just accommodative language. Where have you ever heard me say or read anything that I wrote, Brother Joel, that you have put up there in quotes and charged me with and says, I want it both ways? That is one of the greatest misrepresentations. It's not ignorance. And the next chart or two, will show where he asked me the question. Can we go beyond this one and come back, perhaps, if it's not asking too much? Here's the question. If a man puts away his scriptural wife when neither he nor his wife has committed fornication, and he does not subsequently commit fornication, is the wife really biblically put away? I wasn't sure what he meant by biblically. In other words, if you mean that the Bible approves of it, no. The Bible does not approve of the putting away. If you mean, does the Bible really consider her repudiated by her husband? Yes, she is really put away. That's amazing. That after charging me with wanting it two different ways, and I've answered his question, but enough on that. Go back to the other one, please. 1 minute. Thank you very much. Committeth adultery against her. Brother Reese says this proves that the put-away wife can subsequently put away her mate after he remarries because he committeth adultery against her. Well, he says, that's what he says up there, and that's his argument. No, that's what Mark 10 and 11 says. That whosoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. I didn't say that. Well, there's some scholars who argue they're scholars, and he finally said there are many scholars, but not one scholar, hear me in the last minute, not one scholar, no matter how sectarian, that I've ever known anything about, correct me if you know someone, who takes the position that her is definitively, absolutely the second wife and not the first. There's not one who will say that it can't mean the first one. They say it may mean either way. And that's his answer to Mark 10, verse 11. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your kind and careful attention to the things that have been said. We're going to take a short break here, about 10 minutes. And again, we don't want to drag that out too long so that we can end in a good time at a decent hour tonight. So we'll be dismissed for just a short intermission.